It's the big one, it's the Open, and it's the Racing Post Golf Postcast. I'm Bruce Millington, and I'm delighted to be joined by two tipping titans, Steve Palmer, and in the studio, the one and only, the legendary Mr. Jeremy Chapman. And we've also got Glenn Day from Star Sports. He's the very much informed Glenn Day, because last week, his liking for Bernd Wiesberger, which has shown itself on recent postcasts, came up trumps as he won the Scottish Open at 40-1. Also found in the Racing and Football Outlet by the maestro, Mr. Jeremy Chapman, who also tipped a 20-1 winner in Retief Goosen in the seniors. So the boys are informed, they've been studying hard. We have got coming up all the best bets, not just on who's going to win the Open, but all the derivative markets, what the winning score is going to be, top this, top that, absolutely everything. So grab a pen and paper, and hopefully we have got all the winners for you. But first of all, before the tips start flying, Glenn, take it away with a nice deep show of betting from Star Sports on the Open.
We're 50 odds the first eight places this week. 17-2 Rory McIlroy, 10-1 Brooks Koepka, 14-1 John Rahm, 16-1 Dustin Johnson, 20-1 Justin Rose and Tiger Woods, 22-1 Xander Schauffele, 25-1 Francesco Molinari, Henrik Stenson, Justin Thomas and Patrick Cantlay, 28-1 Adam Scott and Tommy Fleetwood, 30-1 Ricky Fowler, 33s Jordan Spieth, 35-1 Bryson DeChambeau, Jason Day and Matt Kuchar, from 40-1 and upwards, others.
Well played, Glenn. And just give us a taste of what the market has been doing in the lead up to the action starting on Thursday at Portrush. Who's been most popular?
Yeah, a good spread of business. No one, massive liabilities, but more bets on Justin Thomas. He's been very popular, obviously played well in Scotland last week. That's been a good mix. The front three in the market not been too popular. McIlroy, Koepka and Rahm. Koepka absolutely friendless, in fact. Yeah, but a good mix of business this week so far.
Excellent. Right then, we want your main tips now, chaps. Just the one. If you're only having one bet, Jeremy Chapman, on this, who would it be and why?
John Rahm. Well, he's just won two Irish Opens already on similar courses. And no one goes into this one any better form than he is.
Do you worry about his temperament, or do you think what he did the other week at Lahinch answered that? Because he just still seems a little bit like a volcano waiting to erupt for me.
Well, I think that helps him. You know, he needs that.
Okay, so you think
persona.
Everything points to him, does it? Does the course suit? I mean, is there any difference between this links and any other links?
Well, I asked John O'Leary, my good friend, who won the Irish Open the other day, and he said, well, it's just a little course like all the others, you know.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much it, isn't it? If it doesn't blow, it's easy. If it blows, it's tough, isn't it?
It's better looking than the ones in Scotland and England because they've got wonderful views of the mountains and the sea, but it's a handsome course and it's beautiful, but I don't think there's anything unique about it.
Okay, so you think Rahm is ideally equipped for the test? Steve, one bet only. I'm sure we're going to be having more than one bet. But if you were restricted to one, who would it be?
One bet only would be Rory McIlroy. I think there's going to be one hell of a party in Portrush on Sunday when the local hero wins. There's been a lot of talk about whether he'd be able to handle the pressure, but I think he's a more mature character than ever now. I think since turning 30 and getting married, a very measured, calm, thoughtful character. I've liked what I've seen this season. He seems to handle setbacks better. And he's actually reading the same book as me at the moment. Actually, he's reading he put me onto this book.
Angela's Ashes.
the obstacle is the way. The obstacle is the way. So he's getting into this sort of philosophy of stoicism, and I think he has been more stoic this season. And he's very consistent. He's 11 top tens in 14 starts. Two victories. Obviously, won the Players' Championship, which is the strongest field of the season. Won the Canadian Open with a, you know, frankly, ludicrous standard of golf. He won by 7 shots there. So everything McIlroy's done this season has encouraged me towards his ultimate goal. And I think he can handle the pressure of being the hometown hero. I mean, you've got to remember, we talk about the course being a classic link, same as everyone, but not that many players have played there competitively. And I think it's a significant edge that he's grown up playing there. Obviously famously shot that 61 as a 16-year-old there in the North of Ireland Amateur Championship. So I think that's an edge. And I think the first few holes are quite easy in comparison to the rest of the course. So, you know, it's going to be key for McIlroy to get a fast start and get the crowd pumping. And, you know, they can bounce off each other. And, you know, those early holes provide that opportunity.
What's that book about? What's the key learning you've had from what is it? The obstacle is the rock.
The obstacle is the way.
Oh, right.
You,
okay.
You turn adversity into advantage.
Oh, right.
You know, I'm only in the early stages of it at the moment, but rather than capitulate when you make a bogey or something goes wrong at work, you dig in and turn see the positives, turn it into an advantage.
Fantastic. Right then, Glenn, what is your number one pick?
My number one pick this week is Henrik Stenson. Really finding his form in recent weeks. Obviously, a previous winner. Plays well in links courses. 8th, 9th, 4th in the Scottish Open last time out. The key, obviously, always been a good driver with his 3-wood. Top 4 in the stats in driving accuracy in his last 4 outings. Obviously, keeping it on the short stuff is going to be key this week. Obviously, for Neri, it's the greens. It hasn't been putting too well recently, but I saw the bits and pieces I saw at the weekend. He looked like he was rolling it quite well in Scotland, and I thought that was massive. Didn't rank too highly in the stats, but I like to trust the eyes. His game's in good order. Obviously, prove that he can handle the pressure of an Open. Who can forget that great last round at Troon a few years ago? I think everything points to Stenson certainly having a massive week again and possibly picking out his second major title.
Okay, Steve, I'm going to come back to you and ask you, which attribute do you think is going to be most important this week? The winner of the 2019 Open, when we look back on it, will have done what best?
Approach shot, strokes gained on approach and scrambling are the two key stats. Because the approaches are very, very tiny targets on approach because they're very heavily undulating greens and they feed off towards the bunkers. So you've got to find the right section of these greens or you're in trouble. So accurate approaches, and everyone's going to be missing greens because they are so difficult to find. So then you want to be scrambling well when you miss them. So, yeah, they're the two key stats I'm looking at.
Okay. Jeremy, give us your two main dangers to John Rahm.
Patrick Cansley, who was 12th on his Open debut last year, which was a lovely debut, and he's come on this year, but leaps and bounds. He won Memorial, was one of the most impressive performances of anybody this year, and he's very good on the majors, 9th at the Masters, and 3rd in the US Open, is it? Or the US PGA. One of the, 2 very good majors out of 3, so he's a big occasion player, and he's not overfaced himself. He's had a nice break running into this, so I think he'll be up for this one.
And who else do you like to give Rahm the most to worry about?
Justin Rose.
Is it Rose's sort of gaff, this? Because
it's very straight. And John O'Leary told me that straight hitters with a good strategy are the ones who want. He's very good at strategy.
Is he good in the wind, though, Jay Rose?
Well, he was second last year at Carnoustie.
And it blew then, did it?
Hmm.
Well, fair enough. Okay, that's good then. All right, so Rose and Cantlay to give Rahm the most to think about. Steve, complete your podium. We'll do the outsiders, but if we're doing a 1-2-3, number one, Rory, and who's going to be 2 and 3?
Number 2 is John Rahm. I think preparation is the key to winning the Open Championship. 8 of the last 9 winners played the week before. John Rahm played at La Hinch the week before last, which was good preparation. Paul McGinley got that La Hinch Golf Club set up as close as he possibly could to this week. He wanted to provide the players with a good lead up to the Open. And Rahm blew the field away there, 64 and 62 over the weekend to win that. Prior to that, he finished second at Valderrama, despite feeling under the weather and playing a course which plays against all his strengths. So, I love the way Rahm's coming into this tournament. Wouldn't worry about his Open record. I think he's got to grips with links golf now. He's tremendously young. I mean, people are forgetting how good Rahm has become with so little experience. He's only 24. He's not played that many tournaments and he's won bundles of them already. And major victory is inevitable. I think Chappers is right. Yeah, that's his second Irish Open win as well. You must remember, in his first Irish Open win came in 2017 at Port Stewart, which is just up the road from Port Rush, you know, a Northern Irish venue. So in this part of the world, he's been deadly. And there's nothing particularly frightening about the weather forecast this week. The wind speeds are not going to be extreme. So there's plenty of birdies available to keep Rahm's pecker up. I think Rahm's the biggest danger to McIlroy. And then completing the portfolio at bigger prices, I've got Lou Oosthuizen, who I think is the best of the mid-range prices. Former Open champion, won the 2010 edition by 7 shots at St Andrews. Runaway victory at the home of golf. And yeah, that's not a flash in the pan. His majors record generally is superb. He's twice lost in playoffs to Bubba Watson in the 2012 Masters, to Zach Johnson in the 2015 Open Championship. He was second in the 2015 US Open, second in the 2017 USPGA. So major venues typically bring out the best in Oosthuizen, probably because they're so difficult normally. He's got such a solid tee to green game. You know, swings, very consistent swing, churns out fairways and greens.
Okay. And so your number one is McIlroy, number two, Rahm, number three, Oosthuizen. And Glenn, you are going for, I can't remember who you're going for number one. Who is it?
Henrik Stenson.
Oh, sorry, Stenson. And then who's two and three?
Well, it's your point. I've only got a two, really. The other two are real left field selections. Webb Simpson, I'm going up as a second choice. In really good form, probably playing as consistently as he's ever played. We're looking for guys that are going to be driving it accurately and scramble well. He ranked highly in both of those. In the Canadian Open, he was absolutely fantastic in his scrambling stats. 100% through the first 3 days. Obviously, he couldn't keep that up over the weekend, and McIlroy beat him quite comfortably. Last time at the US Open, also ranked third in putts per green in regulation. So all the key parts of his game are working well.
The Open record's not brilliant, is it, though, Glenn? Because I was looking at Simpson, but...
Yeah, I was going to say, his last three outings, 39, 37, 12th last year. Probably hasn't played a lot of links golf in his career. Showed he's getting to grips with it, more mature, so more in better form this year, showing more consistency. And I think, say, again, playing off the short stuff will be key this week. And I think he'll play well.
Okay, right. Anyone else you need to mention? Jeremy?
I'm very fond of Xander Schauffele, if I pronounce that right. He's only played in two Opens, and he was second last year. It's a very good second time up. And, you know, he's just a tremendous golfer, underrated. He doesn't look...
Seems bomb-proof, doesn't he? Mm. Great temperament.
Very good on the big occasions, won the Tour Championship and things like that. I mean, he's a very much of a contender, I think.
Yeah, excellent. Steve, you've got one more, haven't you? A massive price.
That's right, yeah. The final one is Romain Langasque at 250-1. He loves links golf. He won the 2015 Amateur Championship at Carnoustie, obviously an open venue. He was brilliant last week at the Renaissance Club. A really, really good open warm-up. Finished third in the Scottish Open. Hits his ball really well, so he can handle tough tracks.
A good pick. You like that, TJ?
I fancy him very much for top something or other. Top Frenchman. Top Frenchman. Yeah. Yeah, not even favourite. Mike Lorenzo Vera's a favourite in the list I saw. I think 11-4, whatever it is, very good value.
Blimey. Go on then, Steve, after that ringing endorsement, tell us more.
Well, I just want to say he played a couple of majors when he was an amateur, and he finished 39th in the Masters and 65th in the Open. So this is his first start as a professional, and obviously he's much more confident, much more well-rounded player these days. So, yeah, I'm expecting big things from Romain Langasque.
Okay, and Glenn's got two from left field, he promised us. Who are they?
Yeah. Abraham Anser, a young man finding his feet on the PGA Tour. Had a good end to 2018, posted 3 top 10 finishes and made an appearance in Australia in the Australian Open and won by 5 shots. Proved there that he could get the job done, having previously only had 1 win on the web.com Tour. And a bit of an in and out season. 12th in the Players was a good performance, played well on the Sunday. Couldn't quite get to the leaders. 8th in the Travellers recently. And the key one, 19th in the Irish Open. Probably first look at links golf, was a very promising performance. Again, drives the ball straight, good putter, not so good on the scrambling stats, so I'd say a bit left field. But a player who's improving season by season, and 150-1, I'll throw a dart at him.
Would that be the first ever Mexican winner, Jay?
It certainly would, although Lee Trevino was half Mexican.
Oh, was he? Okay. Mm. Righty-ho.
He won the Australian Open, which sounds a wonderful tournament. In fact, there's only about 5 people who can win it. It's a very poor field.
Okay. And who's the other one then, Glenn?
Kyle Stanley. Again, purely on his driving accuracy and green in regulation stats. He's been, like, obviously, down in the middle recently. The last 5 completed tournaments where you get a ranking, he's ranked in the top 7 in driving accuracy. Putts decently, 2-time tour winner, famously overcome a bit of adversity when he threw away a 7-shot lead in the Farmers Insurance Open. Could easily have fallen off the radar after that, but the next week come from 8 behind after 3 rounds to gain his first win. So he can handle what the course will throw at him this week.
I can't find him. What price is he?
He is 250-1.
Oh,
even third on the list. Yeah, bottom third.
Okie dokie.
So purely on his driving axis, that's a proper left field pick. But those two are more, I'm putting them up for the top 10 and top 20 mark as well. I think they're good value in those. So there's always a couple of guys that play well at bigger prices that you don't expect, and perhaps they might be two of them.
Marvellous. Okay, Steve, will the draw be any sort of advantage? Because obviously we touched upon the weather, and it is crucial in terms of if you're having bets on the winning score or the players under par. I mean, the latest forecast I've seen is that it's going to be pretty damp all week, pretty windy on Thursday and Sunday, not quite so bad on Friday and Saturday. So what's your reading of how the conditions could play a part in the outcome of this tournament?
Yeah, I don't think we're going to get a huge draw bias. Thursday is going to be the windiest of the days, but it's going to be pretty consistent all day. It's just slightly more wind in the afternoon. So, the early starters should have the best of it on Thursday, but it'll flip round on the following day. Not heavy breeze on Friday, Saturday, and then a bit more on Sunday. So, I don't think it's going to be a severe test of breeze this week. And I think the winning score will be as high as 10 or 12 under par. Yeah, it's quite a lush venue. I mean, a chap is talking about how handsome it is. It is. It's a very lush links. And I see a similar score to how Pebble Beach played out. Pebble Beach was a very lush links, and it was 13 under par, wasn't it? So I think if you get to 10 under par, you got a winning chance. But I think maybe 12 might be needed to lift the jug.
That's a very shrewd summary. I mean, Jamie Donaldson shot 18 under when he won the Irish Open this first 7 years ago. So that's obviously much tougher. It's a difficult course now. They've put two new holes in. There's lots more bunkers in it. So
you were quoting me a form line from 1951 earlier. Tell us about that one, Jay.
Yeah, the only two players beat par that year. It was very wet and windy, though. I don't think it's going to be that windy this week. But Max Fortner won with 285, 3 under par when the par was 72. Now it's only 71. You must remember that when you say what the winning score is going to be.
What was the first Open you went to, Jay?
It was the one that Tony Jacklin lost.
70.
Trevino chipped in, was it? Right. 72, I think.
Excellent. Right then, so let's look now at some of the tops markets. Because this is a chance maybe for the guys to put up tips that they weren't quite confident enough to tip them on the outright, but they think there's some value elsewhere. So, Jeremy, what have you got for us?
Well, I very much like Brandon Wu to be top amateur, and I think Steve's led a page on it in the wonderful pullout he's written most of. He was 35th in the US Open, came over here and qualified, and it's not that strong there, but the next best one is a Japanese prodigy called Kanaya, and the European amateur champion Schmidt. I don't think he's particularly good, and this fellow is 35th in the US Open, was overshadowed by Victor Hovland, the Norwegian, playing so brilliantly and finished 12th. But he played a blinder too. He finished level with DJ in the 285. Very good effort.
Brandon Wu.
Can I say some more?
Top amateur. Of course you can, Jay.
Top Frenchman I mentioned. I think Romain Langlois is a very good price. You can get 11-4. They made Lorenzo Vera the favourite, one of the lists I saw, and he's playing really well this year. He's been reborn, but he looks so bloody miserable all the time, doesn't he? He's not as positive as Rank Langas, I think. And I fancied Mr. Im, Sunjae Im, for top Korean, 11-4. I thought that was a pretty good bet. And also for top debutant, 9-1 for top debutant, along with Joaquim Niemann from Chile. I think those are the two to watch, the two 9-1.
Young kids.
Yeah, they're all young. Im's very young as well. I think it's. I just think that because so many of the established players have never seen Portrush before, the first timers are not so disadvantaged as they would normally be.
Okay, excellent. Well done, Jason. Gems in there. Steve, what have you got for us in the tops markets?
Well, in the tops, Brandon Wu is the only top I like. So Chappers has stolen my thunder there on Brandon Wu. I think he's the best amateur in the world. Finished 35th in the US Open. But then he jetted over to qualify for this. You know, he got in by rights. He went to a final qualifier at St. Andrews, Fairmont St. Andrews. And he won that by 3 shots. So, I mean, that's an incredible effort to just bowl over from California. And, you know, not played any links golf. And he goes and shoots 64 and 67 to win that. So, yeah, I think Wu is the standout amateur in the world.
I think, Steve, you've got some top cuts coming, to miss and make the cut. So we'll do them in a sec after Glenn's given us his top tops.
Top tops. I'm going to go for top Asian market. Obviously, Matsuyama takes out a chunk of that market. I don't necessarily think he'll have a good week. Jez Janawatanenond, the young lad who played really well in the PGA earlier in the year, 14th place finish there. Played some really good golf on a tough track. I know his form is only on the lesser tours, if you like, in Japan. He played in Australia at the start of the year, but he's had 9 top 5 finishes this year and 2 wins. So he's played good golf all year round. He's in good form at the moment. I think there's a question mark over a few at the head of the market. 16-1, I think, is a very good price for an each way interest.
Splendid. And what else?
Steve won't like this one. Top South African, Eric Van Rooyen. Again, confessed his love of links golf recently. Always plays well.
He's had a very consistent year, hasn't he, Glenn? I mean, he's always up there, isn't he?
He did miss the cut in the Irish Open the other week. I mean, I actually backed him. That's when I was off. He led after 11 holes and managed to miss the cut, which was very disappointing. A good week last week. Obviously, he had a nightmare start to round 4, but clawed a few strokes back. They say he's confessed that he loves the game. Against him, Louis Oosthuizen, I'm not a fan. If he's in contention, yeah, he goes on with it. If he's only hovering sort of, you know, off the lead or a few shots off the lead, too flaky for me. Just goes through the motions. Brandon Grace, totally out of form, missed 4 of his last 5 cuts. Dylan Fratelli, winner last week at the John Deere. I think guys always struggle to back up the first tour win, so I can't see him contending. Justin Harding, another player out of form. I mean, each way, Van Rooyen, no damage done at all there. And a final one, top Korean, I'm going to go for Ben An. Been playing well all year, good iron player, putts decently. And another marker, I think, is question marks over a lot of the guys in against him. Him, a player I like, admittedly, never played in the Open, obviously, so it's all new to him. Siwoo Kim and Sung Kang, 2 of his big rivals as well. 2 guys, again, totally out of form. So 3-1, Ben An, I think, is a fair bet for the South Korean.
Lovely stuff.
What do you fancy of Zach Johnson to miss the cut 6-4? Former champion, 2015, was it? He won the playoff, didn't he?
Why don't you fancy Zach? I've backed him on the outright.
He's hopeless, mate.
What do you mean he's hopeless? He's won it.
Yeah, he's 2019 golf has been atrocious.
Really?
Yeah.
I've done my money there,
haven't I? He's had no top 10s and only 1 top 20.
Okay, well, that brings us on to make and to miss the cut. And Jay, your banker there is Zach to miss it, is it?
I just thought it was interesting. He has made the cut most of the year, but down in 58th and 59th place. I think he's very ripe for missing the cut here.
Oh, okay. Steve, what have you got for to make and miss the halfway cut?
Yeah, there were 3 British players that I like to make the cut, because I think there's a lot of chaff in this field, and 3 players are odds against to make the cut. Paul Waring was the shortest prize of them. I don't know why Paul Waring was odds against to make the cut. He's in really good nick this season. He loves links golf. He's a Birkenhead lad. He's a links natural. Finished 7th in the Irish Open the other day on a links track to qualify for this. And he was 10th in that 2012 Irish Open at Portrush, so he should hit the ground running. The other 2 at big prices, you know, Connor Syme at 750-1 in the outright market, and Matthew Baldwin at 1,250-1, I think it was in the outright market. I mean, obviously they're quite ambitious bets, but if you haven't
Jeremy
made the
started
cut,
laughing it. What is it, Jay? Yeah. Why are you laughing?
Like, it's a funny stuff, funny program, isn't it? People sit here and on the end of the time putting up daft selections. And
daft?
Sometimes win, don't they?
Well, if you let me finish, chappers, I was going to say that they are quite ambitious wages. They obviously... unlikely to come. But I think if you, you go down to like top 20, I mean, with these majors, the amount of markets, then you go top 30, top 40.
Exactly.
You're gonna have spreads bets if you're so inclined. So I think Connor Simon and Matthew Baldwin are doing much better than their odds suggest. They both won really low grade events this year. Simon won on the Challenge Tour at the end of April. That one particularly low grade. He won in Turkey at the end of April on the Challenge Tour. He's settled in a nice little groove. He's a Lynx National, 24-year-old Scot. Playing his second Open, so nerves shouldn't be an issue. And then Matthew Baldwin. He finished 23rd in the Open at Birkdale. Look at the smirk on your face, Bruce.
No, I'm not. I was just thinking, where would they have to finish for you to be entitled to an apology from Jeremy there?
Well, to make the cut, I mean, Baldwin's 11-4 to make the cut. Syme's 7-4 to make the cut. So the bookies are presuming they're going to miss the cut. But I think these two play well on Nick's golf. And we'll make the cut.
You're going to get all Kevin Keegan, aren't you? I mean, I would love it if they won it. Right. Okay. Any make or missed cut fancies, Glenn?
No, not for me. I haven't really looked at that.
Right. Here's what we're going to do next. We're going to bowl through some of the players we haven't mentioned, and I want a nice snappy line from each of you on their prospects. Okay, Jeremy, we'll start with you on Brooks Koepka.
Wonderful chance. I mean, nothing against him at all. He's won 4 of the last 9 majors he's played in, and doesn't just win them; he wins them quite easily. Doesn't bother with the other events. Recent form is irrelevant. Just he's got a caddy who is a member at Royal Portrush. He's had him all his life, his career for all these majors, and he's a member. He shot 64 round there himself, a caddy. He's a fine golfer himself, so I think that'll be an advantage to it. Looks like the dream team to me.
Okay, Steve, Dustin.
Dustin, well, he's becoming the majors bridesmaid now, isn't he? Ricky Fowler gets called the nearly man of majors, but Johnson's finishing second in all these majors. He's still only won one 2016 US Open, so and he's not been in great nick, so I don't fancy him this week.
Glenn, do you like Tiger?
No, not at all. I had a bit of an injury scare as well recently. I thought it was nothing major, but not played since the US Open as well. Doesn't play a lot of golf these days. I think it's a tough ask for Tiger this week.
I've backed him to miss the cut. Jeremy, do you like the defending champ, Francesco Molinari?
Had a quiet year, hasn't he? He's not playing as well as he was this time last year. He came into the Open in some decent form, didn't he? I think he's got the right sort of game for the course, but I don't think he's going to do it now.
Steve, Adam?
Fine young man. He's got a lot going for him, actually. He's got a fantastic Open record, but I just can't trust him on those short-range putts. You know, you can imagine if he is in contention over the weekend, he'll miss loads of short putts.
I think he'll be a top Australian at
74. All right, then. Glenn, tell us about the chances of Tommy Fleetwood.
So, just not in very good form. Formed only average recently. Last 2 major appearances, 48th in the PGA, 65th in the US Open. Struggled in those.
That'll do.
He says he likes coming in under the radar this year. There's no pressure on him compared with the last year when he was up and around the lead all the time.
The same might be said, Jay, for Justin Thomas. What do you think of Justin Thomas?
I like his chance.
You do?
Because he has been injured. He missed some weeks and he's been building up, and last week came with a rattle at the end to get just out of the first 5, wasn't he? 7th or something. But it was a very good effort, and I think, wouldn't be at all surprised.
Okay, Steve, do you give Ricky Fowler any chance?
No. I think the major frustration is bubbling over now. I just think, he plays Lynx golf well. Yeah, I don't want to rule him out completely. He plays Lynx golf well.
Best player not to win a major, isn't he?
Yeah, I suppose he is. But there's others I much prefer this week.
Okay, and I have backed Matt Kuchar. Have I done my money, Glenn?
No, not at all. I mean, I wanted to get him into my portfolio. I was slightly disappointed with the way he played last week. He was in contention in the first 2 rounds. A couple of double bogeys back-to-back in round 2. He rallied a bit. Plays well on links courses. I backed him when he came second to Spieth the other year. If it weren't for George finding Spieth's ball on the hill, he may well have won a major by now. But, I think he'll have a good week. I just couldn't quite squeeze him into the portfolio.
Okay.
Place bet, but
if you're getting 10 places, you may as well back him each way, because you never know.
He's got a huge chance of being in the first 5.
Yeah, right then, one more each. You can go first, Jeremy, with Jason Day.
No, I don't think he's anywhere near what he was in 2016 when he was the best player in the world by quite some way. I don't know what's happened to him. I don't know what's happened to Jordan Spieth. I mean,
hang on, we're going to do him next because that's Steve. Steve, tell us about Jordan Spieth. I've backed him to miss the cut. Will I win?
Yeah, you might win, right? You might win because his TD Green game is still not quite there. He's putting well again, but not going to get his ball to the green in regulation play. I must say, by the way, I think we just besmirched John Rahm, didn't we, saying Fowler's the best player never to won a major. I think John Rahm takes that
title fair enough.
Now,
I suppose you might have done. Because it went Montgomery to Westwood to Fowler. Now you think that mantle is with Rahm, do you?
Yeah, I think so. But that might end on Sunday and then we can send it back to Fowler.
Okie dokes, and finally, Glenn, what do you think? Oh, you've mentioned Matt Simon. We'll do Bryson DeChambeau. I had this funny feeling that in the wind he might just come back to form. He might go, oh, yeah, you think this time last year would have been about 20-1 for this. So is he a bet at 40-odd?
Well, he's not one. I was trying to squeeze him in as well. Putting well, played well last time out. You can certainly see him having a good week. There's a lot to like about him. I know he does it all in a strange way for most of us, but he achieves the results, a multiple tour winner. Lynx Golf maybe a little bit early in his career yet, but he's certainly got the game to compete or certainly win. Yeah, I wouldn't put you off.
Okay, Steve and Jeremy do things in very unusual, odd ways as well, but they're both very effective at what they do. And I will give you a blast for this. It's available in all news agencies. It's free in the Racing Post today. You've obviously got to buy the Racing Post, but it's 24 pages packed with absolutely everything you need to know, including Steve's player-by-player guide. I mean, this just is a work of art. And I think, Jay, you were saying, thank goodness this was invented after you stopped doing it, because it's some piece of work, isn't
it? It's an awesome piece of work. In fact, all Steve's contributions are very well. I've read them all on the train coming up, and it's a masterpiece.
Brilliant. Lovely stuff. OK, now let's talk about first-round leader. Glenn, hopefully you've got a show to hand while you are getting that. Steve, perhaps you could tell us whether we should be focusing on the morning or the afternoon starters and then maybe pinpoint a couple of bets.
Yeah, we should focus on the morning starters because they're going to have less breeze and obviously the freshest of the greens. And there's two I like at really massive prices who are out really early. Xander Lombard at 200-1 is very interesting. Really inconsistent South African player. Oh, there's the chocolate.
He's laughing again.
Go on, my confidence has been dented here.
No, carry on.
But Lombard, I mean, I'm not a huge Lombard fan, but he does have this quirk of getting off to amazing starts and then capitulating.
He's a maniac, who is?
He's either 80 or 64. I know what he means. I know why he's put him up.
Okay.
Well, he opened with a 64 in the Irish Open a couple of weeks ago. He opened with a 64, finished second after round one, and then dropped away, as he often does. But I think he can hit the ground running in this particular Open because he finished runner-up in the 2014 Amateur Championship at Portrush. He's got competitive, positive course experience. And in his previous two Opens, he's been out the gates like a greyhound. So, like a greyhound who is fast out the gates.
Not like Skirlo Champ, no, who was always very slow.
I felt I need off my hat to you here, Liz. I think that's an
inspired 200-1, you can't go
wrong. It's an inspired selection.
And who's your other one, Stevie?
And my other one is Romain Langasque, who's obviously an outright fancy.
No, that's a very good pick.
He found his A game on Sunday, finished third in the Scottish Open. I think if he carries that form to Portrush, which I expect he will, he'll be out the gates or the starting stalls or whatever you want to call them very quickly.
It's up in on Basil Brush, this, isn't it, with him interrupting all the time? Blooming heck. Right.
He's putting me off.
Glenn, have you got a show of betting on first round leader?
I have, yes. We're betting 50 odds the first six as well on this market. 20-1, Brooks Koepka and Rory McIlroy. 25-1, John Rahm. 28-1, Dustin Johnson and Tiger Woods. 30-1, Justin Rose. 33-1, Francesco Molinari and Xander Schauffele. 35-1, Henrik Stenson and Patrick Cantlay. And on 40-1, Adam Scott, Jason Day, Justin Thomas, Matt Kuchar, Ricky Fowler and Tommy Fleetwood.
And have you got any particular strong views on morning v afternoon for Thursday, Clem?
No, not particularly. I've got one to put up, though, for the first-round leader. And then, amazingly, talked to another guy in the office. He had one bet on the first-round leader and landed on the same guy. It's just one with a heart, really. A bit like Darren Clark from nowhere winning the Open a few years back. I nearly put this guy in, but I thought, no, he's not going to win a tournament. soon, but he's more than capable of shooting a good first round. Does it fairly regularly, doesn't always see it through, playing in a very relaxed manner at the moment. I'm going to put up a first round lead at Lee Westwood. Good links form, obviously good form in the Open. You've got to go back a few years there. Have a laugh, Jeremy. Thank you, Jeremy. A couple of thirds and a second in the last 10 years. 22nd and 27th in two of the last 3 years in the Open. He's only got to have one good round. Hopefully being the first.
The last time I saw eyes that wide, do you remember the Jungle Book with the big snake? They're like that. Jeremy's eyes are like saucers. You can't believe it, can you, Jay? Are you going to be back in Lee Westwood?
I wouldn't be surprised if Matt Kuchar led it. He led last week and then let me down, so he might do it again.
Listen. Never mind all your theorising and looking at this. The one thing you need to know is that Charlie Hoffman, the king of the first round leaders, is in the very first group.
Yeah.
You just back Charlie Hoffman. What price is the Hoff, Glenn?
The Hoff? There's a good question. I'd had a fair whack. 125 to 1 first
there
round.
There you go.
Bruce has picked it. He's beaten all the experts.
Right, one tip this week, and it's Charlie Hoffman, first round leader.
Brilliant.
Have we got any other business, Jeremy? Is there anything else you want to talk about that we haven't mentioned?
Well, I'm interested in Top Senior, being rather a senior myself. I thought Top Senior was quite interesting. There's Lehman.
Foxy Field, isn't it? Rubbish.
Jimenez, Darren Clark, Paul Laurie and Tom Lehman. And everyone's tipping Lehman because he made the cut in a regular tour event. But Tom Lehman's turned 60. It's an awful lot for him to be top. And giving 10 years to Clark and Laurie will be difficult. And it would be a lovely fairy tale if Darren Clark, who's done so much to bring this tournament to Ireland, he's first off at 6:35, as we know, playing with your man Hoffman.
Mm.
And he had two good finishes on the Champions Tour. Hasn't played that well the rest of the time. But the opposition's not that great. So
you're going to put up Darren Clark?
Why not?
Brilliant. He's a great, great man. And I hope he has a brilliant week because he's done so much, as you say, for golf in Northern Ireland, hasn't he?
Absolutely.
An absolute superstar. Steve, what else have you got for us that we haven't mentioned?
Well, I've got a dual forecast that I was going to throw in for bet of the week, because you know I like an ambitious.
Well, no, we've got the nap coming up, so keep your powder dry for that one. And Glenn, anything else we haven't mentioned that you want to get off your chest?
No, so as I mentioned, so when I was summarising with my selections, two that I put up today, both the tips, Ansa and Stanley, as top 10 and top 20 tips as well.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, that's the great thing, isn't it? As we say, I do think with the top 10, there's no point just backing a top 10 because so many firms are doing 8 or 10 places. You may as well back them each way. And then because you kick yourself to kingdom come, wouldn't you, if you back someone top 10 and then they go and win. But top 20, and as you say elsewhere, there's 30s and 40s. So there's loads of different ways to back the players you fancy. Before we get the best bets of the week, I want to know what the worst tip you've heard of from the other two today. Jeremy, what's the worst tip you've heard of from either Steve or Glenn?
I didn't notice for that one.
Well, you were laughing at most of them, weren't you?
I would be surprised indeed if Lee Westwood led after the first round. Now.
Steve, the worst tip you've heard from one of the other two?
Oh, that's incredibly harsh. I don't know. I don't, Kyle Stanley's majors record is...
and Glenn.
Louis Oosthuizen to win it. Terrible price.
Oh, blimey. God, it was absolutely no doubt about that. Right then, never mind the negativity. You've only got one bet on the Open this week. Who's it going to be? Jeremy Chapman.
It's Brandon Wu to be top amateur.
Okay, Steve Palmer.
The Rory McIlroy, John Rahm dual forecast.
Good luck, mate. I'm with you.
What price is that?
It's 100 to 1. 100 to 1.
Either order.
Yeah, either or. Dual forecast, that's it, yeah.
Excellent.
And Glenn.
Very good,
Abraham Ansa, top 20.
Okay, lovely. And finally, we must reiterate the outright selections. We always do this, Jay, okay? Because if people have been listening, they've missed something. But we're going to nice and sensibly reiterate who your main fancies are. So to win the 2019, yes, it is, Open Championship, Steve Palmer, your selections are...
Rory McIlroy, John Rahm, Louis Oosthuizen, Romain Langasque.
Glenn Day.
Henrik Stenson, Webb Simpson, Abraham Ansa and Kyle Stanley.
And Jeremy Chapman, given your Outlook column this week, this could take quite a while. Go on.
John Rahm, Patrick Cantlay, Justin Rose, Xander Schauffele and Brooks Saunders, Brooks Koepka.
Brilliant. Well done, lads. That was absolutely superb. Thank you so much, Jay. It's been a real pleasure to have you in this studio. You're an absolute legend, and I hope you have a fantastic week. What are you going to be doing? Sitting at home and lapping it all up?
Yeah, and poor Steve isn't going to Ireland either, is he?
No, he's not. When was the last time you went to the Open, Jay?
Hoylake.
You can get down to Sandwich next year, can't you?
Could do it. I wanted to. Yeah, if I'm still alive.
You'll be there. Steve, you're, as Jeremy's just touched upon, it's the first time in how many years that you haven't been at the Open?
Yeah, 2003 was my first Open at Sandwich, so I'm looking forward to getting back to Sandwich. I can't be a bit of Sandwich because it's nice and close for us, isn't it? So
yeah, but yeah, I mean, we looked at Portrush, didn't we? Do you remember last year? We looked at Airbnb and we were looking at accommodation. It's hopeless, isn't it?
No, very expensive mission that, so yeah, we can afford that one. But yeah, I'll see you at Sandwich next year then, Chappers.
And will you be blogging away all week, Steve, or giving us regular updates on racingpost.com?
I'll be doing all I possibly can, Bruce, you know me.
Fantastic. Are you excited? What price are you to win money this week, do you think, Steve?
Very confident this week, very confident, but I'm confident most weeks and we haven't had a great year. But yeah, I fancy Rory and Rahm really quite strongly, yeah.
Excellent. And Glenn, it must be really busy for you, isn't it, as head honcho of Star Sports' golf department. Are you in every day or do you get any respite? Yeah.
No, I'm actually off tomorrow. I'm actually going to play golf tomorrow, not all day, obviously, with the Open being on. I'm going to watch the up to about 3:30. I'm going to get on the golf course, which I said I wasn't going to do this year. Working Friday, Saturday, and then I'm definitely on the sofa on Sunday to watch the conclusion. So, yeah, looking forward to it. Should be a good week.
Should be good. Right, then, well, I don't even know what the tournaments are next week. Anyone know what we've got next week?
Yeah, we've got it's a WGC now, I think, isn't it?
Fantastic. Yeah. Are you back for that, Steve, or are you going to be swanning off somewhere?
No, I'm here all week.
You back next week, Glenn?
Yeah, back next week, yeah.
Brilliant. Okay, thank you very much for watching or listening. Don't forget, if you enjoy these podcasts, please do rate, review and subscribe wherever you're listening. We are back next Wednesday with another great Racing Post Golf Podcast.